Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman. Hopefully he's going to call in. He hasn't called in yet. So if you have something you'd like to talk about, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And usually Bob's here by this time, so who knows, maybe he forgot or whatever it might be. But certainly we would be talking about the finances, things going on over in Europe. And time and time and time again, we're told, well, they've got a program and everything's going to be fine and there's nothing to worry about. And then we find out that that isn't true. But we're going to come up with a plan very, very soon. Of course, the problem is that all of the countries over there have massive debts. Some of them have more debts than others, but you can't just live on debt. This is what brings countries down. This is what brings societies down, is excessive debt. And it's happened time and again through the ages. It's happening today because governments don't like to act responsibly. They like to certainly provide for the people, all sorts of benefits for the people, so people will be happy with the government, but people don't like to pay for the benefits. So basically here in the United States, we run up our debts. We're borrowing from our great-grandchildren. And basically, of course, they've increased the federal debt within the last 3 years about $4.3 trillion. It took almost 200 years for America to amass $1 trillion in debt, and in 3 years we've amassed $4.3 trillion in debt, and we're sort of at the end of a cycle. We cannot keep living off of our great-grandchildren. We're borrowing from our great-grandchildren because this debt's going to have to be paid back. Either that or we destroy the value of our currency, impoverish anybody, and leave a chaotic situation for our great-grandchildren. But you have to understand that neither political party wants to address the issues. Oh, the Republicans, they want to change the tax structure. They want to substitute the income tax with a value-added tax, like Mr. Kane. Or they certainly want a flat tax. Wouldn't that be fine? We'd do away with the IRS. And nobody talks about slashing spending, except for Ron Paul. And he's come up with what I think is an ingenious program. He says, look, we don't need a Department of Housing and Urban Development. We don't need a Department of Commerce. We don't need a Department of Interior. We don't need a Department of Energy. We don't need a Department of Education. Look at our educational system. Is it better or worse since we had a Department of Education? How much energy has the Energy Department created? Oh, we've given a lot of money to billions of dollars to Solyndra and other companies that are sitting there are making solar panels, and they've gone broke. Evergreen, all these various companies we've given countless billions of dollars to, but the Department of Energy is simply a giveaway program, but it doesn't produce energy. In fact, if it were left up to them, would even be in a worse hole than we are today. So I think it's very, very important that people understand that government cannot solve our problem. There is no problem facing it today that a new government program won't make worse. And so basically, I think Ron Paul's idea of massive cutting of government spending, he promises to cut $1 trillion his first year in office and by the third year to have a balanced budget without touching Social Security or Medicare benefits. It can be done. We need to have strong defense, but we do not need a global empire, and that's what most of our military spending is for. We spend more on our military than all the rest of the countries in the world. Combined, we'll be back with Bob Chapman. Well, Bob Chapman, how are you doing?
Well, fine, thank you.
And tell us what the latest news is from your point of view on the economic field. And basically, we're told that there's going to be meetings later this week, and they're going to come up with a solution as far as the Greek debt problem. Oh, we'll have one on Wednesday. But I've been hearing this sort of thing for such a long period of time. I wonder if it's really true. And if they have a solution, is it a permanent solution or a temporary solution?
Well, that's a good question to ask. I don't think they have a permanent solution for sure. And anything that they have would have been cobbled together, so to speak. The French want to do one thing and the Germans want to do another. And I think that because of their powerful place, you might put it, is that Germany will probably win out. The thing is, will they back off any? And we won't know that until Wednesday. The French want to leverage the amount of money that's available, which is really the American plan. And the president of France, Mr. Sarkozy, is really a hardcore Illuminist. His brother, for those who don't know, is the head of Carlyle Corporation. And I think that speaks volumes. So really the French plan is the U.S. plan. And they want to be able to leverage. And they can't do that under the German Constitution without having a referendum. If they have a referendum, they're going to lose decidedly, and they know that. So what they're saying is we got to go forward with this, and in spite of the German rules, we're going to do it anyway, which, you know, you think of their way of thinking, and they're used to doing what they want to do irrespective of law. And so I think they're really stuck. I don't think you're going to see anything tomorrow. Wednesday.
So basically, of course, it's a lot of talk, but everything is done to placate the public and make them think a solution is coming when there really is no easy solution other than perhaps just to let Greek default, which is what they should happen, and let the whole thing come down and start in all over again.
Well,
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, we were talking about the solution. They've got a solution. We're going to have it on Wednesday of this week. It's going to solve the problem. They're going to solve the problem as far as Greece is concerned. And this is all talk. I mean, the only thing that you could do would be let Greece go into default, pay back the banks 20 or 30 cents on the dollar. As in, they have the banks who made these loans they never should have loaned, so they pay the premiums. But, of course, if they do that, it's going to have a profound impact on the whole banking industry over there. But it is totally corrupt. I mean, certainly they're making loans that no responsible bank would ever make. And of course, they have all sorts of debentures on this, credit default swaps. These are like insurance policies. The only trouble is the people who write the insurance policies don't have any money, and many of them are American banks. And certainly, basically, of course, if the Greece and the other pig nations do default, then, of course, the people are going to say, well, we took out the insurance policy, we want to be paid. And, of course, the American banks don't have the money to pay it off. So what they have done is they've transferred those debentures or derivative contracts to the FDIC part of their bank. These were written in an entirely separate part of their banking industry, having nothing to do with the areas that were covered by FDIC, but now facing defaults, what's the best thing to do? Why stick the American taxpayers with it? And you're talking of some could be up to $50 to $100 trillion dollars, $50 to $100 trillion. If they do that, it'll bring our system down. And where is the outcry? Of course, the last thing they want is for the American people to realize how greedy the bankers are and how they have risked the very stability, survivability of our nation. Bob, you picked the story up from there.
Well, they're certainly greedy. Money is a symptom. The important thing to them is the power. And this miscalculation by them over the several years has really created a terrible, terrible problem for them. And the banking system is so in debt to these six countries, never mind Greece. The bill would come to $4 to $6 trillion. It's something I talked about in terms of $4 trillion 2 years ago. And I upped that a couple of months ago to $4 to $6 trillion. And I see it quoted in many publications, so obviously there are other people who agree with me. And the banks would just go bankrupt. Pretty simple. And essentially they're bankrupt now. And that would allow them to lose all their power. And that's the last thing you want to do, because that's really all they've got left, is their power structure. And that's what allows them to be able to do what they do. This unrelenting accumulation of wealth on a leverage basis. And the leverage is a form of either real power or real destruction, one or the other. And so they're fighting for their lives. They initiated this, as they have in the past. And I don't think they know the way out. I think they know the way they'd like to get out, but I don't think it's going to happen. And that's why it's so important that we expose what they're doing. Extremely important. And because once they're found out, and there's millions of people who don't understand what they're up to, worldwide. And once they found out, then you're looking at a situation where, you know, they could be in a terminal position, and that's what they don't want. And that could lead to a very, very bad end.
Well, I think that we're living in very trying and very dangerous times, and I don't think the average individual has any idea what's really going on. We're being constantly having our attention focused on non-important issues, whether it be the World Series, whether it be national basketball, whether it be us and the Michael Jackson's doctor, whatever it would be. Focus the attention of the people on unimportant things, because the whole financial structure of Europe and of Asia and the United States really hangs in the balance. And certainly, I agree with Bob. There is no way out other than the collapse of the system, hyperinflation followed by severe depression, collapse of the banking system, and starting it all over again. And with that, the massive impoverishment of the American people. Now, I think this is probably going to be used as a vehicle, certainly to try to justify a world government. I think they are wrecking our economic system so they can bring in a world government. Bob thinks they're probably going to bring in a war in the meantime, and he may well be right. After all, what better way to change the structure of society? than another massive world war with all the devastation it would bring. But they brought about World War I to bring out the League of Nations. They brought about World War II to bring about the United Nations. Their goal is, and always has been, a one world government. And I believe they're going to bring in a third world war, and under the guise of that and the massive expansion of power will come about this new draconian, horrible one world order with the destruction of everything that is moral and worthwhile and noble in the world. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Bob Chapman, the international forecaster, and something we're seeing, of course, totally manipulated stock market. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. People don't understand, if you look and see what's happening, why almost all the stocks that go up one day, almost all the stocks would go down the next day, and that obviously is the work of the of what's known as the President's Working Group on Financial Matters, the President's Working Group on Financial Matters, that has the legalization by executive order to manipulate the stock market to keep idle minds busy and realizing what's going on. Well, again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Bob, do you think that the President's Financial Group on Financial Matters is actively engaged in manipulating the stock market today?
Well, absolutely, yes. It happens 24/7. It never stops. They got one market going one way and another market going another way. And they do it with impunity. Nothing can be done to stop them unless we have legislation. And the only way we're going to have that is by electing Ron Paul and people like him. If that doesn't happen, we get a serious problem because these people, they can do anything they want to do. And maybe it won't last, but it sure is very, very disruptive. And you can see what they're doing. They don't care that you know that today they're rigging the commodity market. Yesterday they took up the stock market in the United States. And at the same time, they took up the FTSE in London and the CAC 40 in Paris and the DAX in Germany. Maybe even the Nikkei. And they just do what they want to do. It's never talked about in mainline media. They know that such a thing exists. They just won't touch it because the people who own the media are the people who are doing all the rigging.
And, of course, if you want to keep your job and you work for a mainline station, why you never mentioned the President's Group on Financial, the President's Group on Working Matters, or certainly the Plunge Protection Team, they're one and the same. But you can, fortunately, we have the Internet, so you can go up there and look up the President's Working Group on Financial Matters and find out it really is true, and that does manipulate the stock market. We've had Bill calling from Spokane with a question, and I don't know what happened to Bill. We seem to have lost him. So if Bill's out there and he has a question for our guest, why, certainly we'll be glad there. But Bill is gone. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And basically you're seeing a totally manipulated stock market. Now, basically, of course, the American people are not to know that. You're supposed to think that we have a free market, but we do not have a free market. Everything is being manipulated, and, of course, the last thing that they want is collapse of the stock market, because, of course, this would have a very depressing influence on the American people. They want to keep us, for all intents and purposes, fat, dumb and happy. An informed people would begin to realize, of course, everything is rigged. An informed people would begin to realize that they're destroying the value of our currency, of our pensions, of our annuities, of our bank accounts, of our savings, certainly everything that people have worked their whole life for. And, well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest. And if you have a question or comment, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Have a question or comment for our guest, Bob Chapman. Well, Bob, what do you hear from the people over in Europe? I know you're in communication with people all across the world. What are the people in Europe? Are they aware of what's going on, at least some of them?
Some of them are, and throughout Europe, because we have many subscribers there. And in Greece, they have one demonstration after another. Unfortunately, last week, these people in black uniforms with hoods on appeared and were allowed through the police line. And they attacked the people and who were doing nothing except standing there. And somebody got killed. And I think that has been in the past and will be the work of, in the future, of the government. I believe, from what they've said in the past, that they hire mercenaries to come in and do that sort of thing, run around with baseball bat types of things, and axes and flashbangs and all of the different kinds of things that normally the police use. And they were very disruptive this past weekend. And as the crowds grow larger, which they are, their aggression will probably grow as well. But what's important here is that even if they make a deal, the Greek people are not going to go abide by it. They just simply won't. There's not going to be any revenue because no one is going to work. I mean, the people who are involved in the staples of life will work, and that's it. And so, no matter what they do, it's not going to happen. I mean, these demonstrations have been going on for almost 2 years. And they're not going to stop. Now, the Greek people were sold out. And now, the question is, are they going to heal to all of these unbelievable rules, like cutting your salary and your retirement by 50% and things like that. And so I think that you're going to see noncompliance even if the so-called troika comes to some sort of solution. Okay. The country is run by a communist. His father was a communist and one of the greatest looters of all time.
That was Papandreou.
And pardon me?
That was Papandreou.
His father's name was Andras.
Andras, okay.
His name was George.
Okay.
And they both, well, there's over 50 members of the Illuminati who live in Greece, fabulously wealthy people who pay no taxes whatsoever. And so this isn't going to stop. And I think part of what they're demonstrating about as things that they came to know about through broadcasts like this, which reach Greece, and also the why and wherefore of what's really going on. I think a number of years ago.
Bob, we've got a Bill who's called from Spokane. He called in earlier. Sure. We just got him back on the line. So let's go to Bill calling from Spokane. And Bill, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I'm wondering if you think I have my own take on this.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman. Cynthia, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We've got Bill calling from Spokane. What is your question, Bill?
Okay, I have my own personal take on this, but I'm kind of wondering what the guest thinks as well, is that could all of this global protest possibly through via the internet and mass media, be used to make the people think that they're protesting when it's really something else? Because what I see on the internet here is that the Pope is calling for a new financial order, and if they wreck the world economy completely and get into extreme wars that more than what we already have, they could just tell the people that they're going to give them the free health care and all of that and really be putting in some kind of a thing that's even worse than what we already have, which is pretty bad. That's kind of what it seems like to me. What do you think?
Stan, why don't you start off with that one?
Well, I think
your take on the movement that on Wall Street and that sort of thing.
Well, because Bill, I think, is very right. I think that a lot of this is manipulated. I think the whole of suddenly suddenly Occupy Wall Street is manipulated. I suspect that there are people over there organizing these demonstrations in Greece. Now there are many, many legitimate complaints on the part of the Greek people. And they have every reason to be out there demonstrating, but somebody has to organize it and say where the demonstration is going to be. The similar things are happening here in the United States. The Occupy Wall Street movement that they talk about, we're told it's a leaderless society. In fact, they have special training places where people can go to become leaders of this leaderless movement, and they bring in facilitators to train the leaders of the leaderless movement, and they provide food and bathroom facilities and logistic support for the leaders of the leaderless movement. How would you have leaders for a leaderless movement? Well, the whole thing is staged. I think you're absolutely right. And I think, of course, what they would like to do is create a chaotic situation and impose a totally totalitarian system by which the people are controlled in a feudalistic manner from the cradle to the grave. What are your thoughts, Bob?
I think you're absolutely correct, although I will say that in the process, a lot of good people have gone out to these meetings and preached the kind of things that we talk about on this program. And it has had a neutralizing effect. And that's all over the country. Essentially, no one told them to go out and do that. They just went out and did it.
And I think it's so vitally important. I tell our listeners, ask what I can do. I say, you go get buy a megaphone, electric megaphone. You go down there and tell these people here in the United States, they're demonstrating against Wall Street. They ought to be demonstrating against the Federal Reserve System and the banks that control the Federal Reserve System. Understand behind this are powerful spiritual forces. Let people understand this is all carefully coordinated with the leaders of both political parties, and they want to bring chaos. Let people realize they're being utilized by the very people they oppose. And so some of our people are going out and doing that, and if you're certainly listening to our program and you're well enough versed in what's going on, go down to these meetings and pass out pamphlets and pass out bumper stickers and pass out cards and get them to listen to my program and Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and the others. And basically, once these people with very real grievances understand who the enemy really is, maybe we can begin to change things. But go ahead, Bob.
Well, I think people, obviously, have gone out and done that. And that has really disjointed their program. I thought from the very beginning, after I saw who was involved and what their manifesto of solutions was, and those solutions looked like they had been written by Karl Marx, I realized that in toto that this is where they were headed, and that was, I think what they're eventually looking for is violence in the demonstration, which will turn into events which will cause the president to institute martial law. And I think that's what they're really ready for. And I think they'll try to implement that from here until the election, and perhaps to put the country into a position where there is no election.
Hold that thought. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's the oldest trick in the world. You create a controlled opposition. A controlled opposition. They're doing a great job. This is Dr. Stan, and you can be sure, Bill, that the agent provocateurs, well-financed and well-paid, will be out there down the line bringing this into violence. And then, of course, we're just going to have more government control. Look at this. It's getting out of control. We can't allow people to demonstrate and express their frustration. If we want to maintain our freedom, we've got to take away the freedom from the people. I think that's where it's going. What would your thoughts on that be, Bob? And then we'll get Bill's thoughts.
Exactly that, and the public doesn't realize it. It's a classic example, and the end product is American control of the American people. What do you think, Bill?
One of the reasons I'm suspicious of it is all throughout the Iraq War and Afghanistan, and where the U.S. was invading these countries, there was anti-war protests, and the media never gave coverage to this, even though there were a lot of people who were against Bush's wars. But then now all of a sudden this is coming out, and you have ABC and Good Morning America and all of these shows, and they're just giving it all kinds of attention. It's all over the Internet. This was never the case with a strictly anti-war demonstrators or people who are against imperial wars. Now you have it like it's this big event, and it looks like they're trying to make it some kind of a community thing to gather up the people. It just seems, I mean, the mass media, that if this was a real thing that was against the corporations, why is the corporate media controlled by the wealthy who normally are against these kind of positions, you know, that, you know, capitalism is a disease on society, et cetera. Why are they all of a sudden giving it this coverage? And I think that people should be suspicious of it.
I think you're absolutely right. I think Bob would agree with you, and I think it's so important that you and others begin to see through these standard techniques. They've used them over and over again. They used them certainly during the Vietnam War. They used it certainly repeatedly since that time. We would never hear about it if it was really an uprising. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Bill calling from Spokane, who thinks that, of course, this whole Occupy Wall Street movement is contrived by the very people who are behind everything else going on. And as he pointed out, if it was real, we wouldn't hear about it at all. As long as it's contrived by the other side, as long as they're creating a controlled opposition, they can control it. It's going to get a lot of play in the media. Our telephone number, again, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. A beautiful example, of course, what you can do when you can control the media, and then, of course, you get an emotional response from the people. Anything else you want to say there, Bill, before we let you go?
Well, there's a group called Opdoor Canvas, and they helped stage the Egyptian Arab Spring, and it's run out of NGOs, and some of the NGOs are funded by Ford Foundation and some of these huge foundations, and they have the revolutionary people. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's people in Egypt who are sick of that dictatorship, which our government, you know, supplied the arms to. But on the other hand, these protests were not spontaneous. It was like, there's this documentary called The Revolution Business, and it's on YouTube, and it shows how out of offices people, these internet people that work, they're called hacktivists. They take the foundation money, National Endowment for Democracy is involved in it. A lot of NGOs that are hooked into foundation money coming from the wealthy heads of the world financed that revolution. It shows it talks about it in the video. So, you know, if the opposition is being funded by the big foundations, and then you have the military-industrial complex on the other side, it sounds like they're just controlling this entire thing so they can have their way one way or another and then impose their new system on us, is what it sounds like to me, but I could be wrong.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and I bet Bob will agree with you. Bob, any parting thoughts before we let Bill go?
Well, that's how George Soros created his color revolutions in Eastern Europe. They were initially successful, and then after a period of time, when people found out what they were up to, the game was over. And I think that's what you're going to see here as well. I don't think they expected the public to become so involved in this thing. And I think, in part, their mission has been compromised, but only time will tell if I'm correct.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But the other side's very clever. They use the same techniques over and over again. Let's hope this time the public is well enough informed and some of our people will go down there with their megaphones and let the people understand that this is a controlled opposition. It's controlled by the very people that they oppose. Hey, thanks very much for calling, Bill. I think you're absolutely right.
Okay, thanks.
God bless. Okay, fine. That was Bill calling from Spokane. And if you have a question for Bob on any subject at all, I'm sure he'd be glad to talk to you. Now, Bob, certainly they're keeping the price of gold and silver down. They've been down pretty close to a month. And certainly gold decreasing from, $1,900 an ounce down to what appears to be a good floor, about $1,600 an ounce. Silver declining from $42, $43 an ounce, stuck now about $32 an ounce. So this has been a dramatic decline in the price of gold and silver. And yet, of course, the supplies are running short. Certainly countries throughout the world, people throughout the world, well aware of the fact that there's this inflationary specter hanging over all the economies. And certainly most of the certainly currencies of the world will be destroyed before this is all over. People are looking for something that they can invest their wealth in so they'll not be totally impoverished. And one of the things they're invested in is precious metals. And yet the price is down totally, in my estimation, because it's being manipulated. What are your thoughts on that, Bob? And before you answer that, I want to put out our telephone number. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And then, Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can subscribe to the International Forecaster, and why they should subscribe to the International Forecaster.
The Forecaster is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. Published on Wednesday and Saturday, runs around 35 or 40 pages each time. We have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet, and everything that you need to know each week is in that publication. You can get a free introductory copy by going to theinternationalforecaster.com, the international, forecaster.com. You can also go to www.intforecaster.com, intforecaster.com. For those of you who would like to ask a question, and we answer everyone, or get copies, or get a copy of our latest report in Gold and Silver Shares, you can email us, and that address is Bob, B-O-B, at intforecaster bob@intforecaster.com. For those of you who would like to call toll-free, that number is 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right. Well, it sort of looks to me as if they're manipulating the price of gold and silver down. Do you think that this is a bottom? Do you think that it'll start to rise pretty soon? Oh, what's happening throughout the world? The information I'm getting is that certainly investors all throughout the world, at least knowledgeable investors, are certainly turning to gold and silver, as are the central banks of the BRIC nations and other nations throughout the world, because they want something behind their currencies, whereas the leaders of our banking system seem to be intent upon destroying the system and impoverishing the American people. What's your thought on that? And once again, if you're out in the listening audience, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But what do you think? Have we gotten the bottom of gold and silver? How can they continue holding this down when the supplies are finite and certainly they're not producing anywhere near enough gold and silver to meet international demand? So what are your thoughts?
Well, I think you saw an example of what they're trying to do. This was the third time in the 6 or 8 weeks that they took gold down along with silver, and they went right back up again. This time they didn't go right back up again, but you can see the trading struggle that's going on between the metals and those who are trying to control them. And I think that this battle is going to be lost by the people who are suppressing the prices, and I think gold and silver will go right back up again. This is a very, very concerted effort. And the reason why, I believe, and I've said this for the last few weeks, is because of what's going on in Europe. It's sort of a cover. People are looking at gold and silver. They're not seeing them rally strongly upward. And they're saying, well, evidently everything's going to be fixed up there in Europe, and it's going to be okay. And the stock markets, on the other hand, are telling you the same thing. The reason I think the stock market has rallied from 10,500 on the Dow to 11,900, which is a substantial leap, is because the insiders have told the Fed that they're going to have QE3 in the form of relieving banks of their toxic, bad assets, paying them for them, and allowing the banks to leverage themselves to go into the long end of the bond market and in the stock market and to run it up. And that's what's going on. And the minute they have an announcement that that is what they're doing, the rally will end and it'll fall right back down again. At the same time, gold and silver will start to rally strongly to the upside. We've seen rallies here. It's come up about $75 from what could be considered a low. And that's probably the beginning. And if they don't have a solution on Wednesday, I rather think that they won't, then I think gold and silver are going to break out again, or at least they're going to continue what they've just started here over the last several days, and that is to move back up again.
All right, fine. And certainly, I think what people don't understand is that there's a real, I think, a difference of opinion between the French and between the Germans. The French are really, of course, you've got out on a limb. They are not financially solvent either. In fact, many of their major banks are teetering on the edge of insolvency, whereas most of the German banks are overall in pretty good shape. But, of course, the French want the Germans to expand their monetary supply, and the Germans don't want to do this. They've seen the ravages of inflation time after time, as in the Weimar Republic at the end of the Second World War. The German people are united in their opposition to further inflating the money supply and undermining the value of their currency. And I don't think that the politicians over there in Germany, Mrs. Merkel, maybe want to go ahead and certainly undermine the currency, but I think that she stands to lose her position as the leader in Germany if she proceeds with that. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree, and I think you're seeing a whole new Germany here. I think what the people have said, look, our country's back together again. We paid a terrible price to do it to the West, so to speak. And we're sick and tired of continuing to be beset upon and to be the goat of Europe, so to speak. And we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to go on our own, and we're going to do our own thing. And we don't need the European Union. And there are those that say the Germans want it, and I don't believe that. I'm not a German, but I lived there for a long time, and I speak German. And I know how these people think. And so with that said, I think this is a big turning point. And I know from the very beginning on the euro, they never wanted to be part of the euro system. In fact, the votes were 68% and 72% against it. And 68 were men, 72% were women. And I think if you voted today, you get the same percentage. Maybe it'd even be higher. And so I see big changes coming, no matter which way this works out. And that's anathema to the people who are trying to make all this stuff work. It's just not going to work.
Well, that is the elite who run the world, and they certainly want to force the Germans to go along. It doesn't matter how the German people feel. They don't believe in democracy. They believe in rule by an elite. The same thing is here in America. It doesn't matter how the American people feel. The elite have their program, and they will certainly buy the support of the congressman or threaten the congressman to get them to do exactly as they want. We saw that with the TARP legislation, where they actually had to violate the laws, the rules of Congress to bring that back within a week after it had been voted down, because the powers that be wanted to funnel trillions of dollars to the big banks. But they kept saying, oh, this is for Main Street. This is to help Main Street, not to help Wall Street. And they lied. But they lie about everything. They're lying about the reason we have you know, almost half a million men over there in Afghanistan fighting the 50 members of Al-Qaeda. You explain that to me, and I'll believe just about anything. But let's go to Dean calling from Spokane. Hi, Dean. How are we doing?
Doing really good, Matt. Thanks a lot. Listen, a while ago, you were interviewing Ron Brown, and a caller asked, and callers do ask, you know, when should I sell silver? When should I sell my gold? And Ron Brown said, well, do you need 5 acres? Do you need a generator? And so what my question is to is that what is the difference between money and wealth? In other words, you can have 100 gold coins, but, you know, if it's pouring down rain outside and that's all you got to cover up with, good luck to you, man.
Well, what is your point, Sidney? You can always sell gold and buy
point,
things if you
I'm
want
not making a point. What I'm asking is a question.
Okay, fine. What is the specific question?
What is the difference between money and wealth?
All right. Bob, what is the difference between money and wealth?
What is the difference between money and what?
And wealth.
Well, money is something you spend on the short term. Wealth is something you accumulate. And I think that the only way that you can preserve wealth is by having it in gold and silver-related assets. I mean, my experience in reading about all of the collapses of the last 150 years is that in the final analysis, gold and silver, and particularly gold, outperformed all of the other assets. I mean, just look at the 1930s. The market dropped 90%, and gold went up, and gold and silver shares went up over 500%. And so it's the go-to investment when everything else is in trouble and you want to preserve what you have. And I think it'll continue to solve that kind of problem.
Dean, does that answer your question?
Okay, because in Tragedy and Hope, Carol Quigley defines the difference between money and wealth, that is, wealth is consumer goods that you have, and money is a claim on goods that you do not have. So in other words, in the end, what you're going to do with gold and silver is go out and spend it.
Well, of course, you may spend
one of these two in one of these two situations, either the dollar amount for it is so high that you can't resist not selling it, or that you need to have something. You need gas for your car.
Okay, we're going to have to go. Thanks very much, Dean. Appreciate your call. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and basically we have Dean calling from a different Dean. He's calling from Jamestown, New York. So, hi, Dean. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. Really enjoy your program. And hello to Bob Chapman there. Is he on?
Yeah, Bob, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Go right ahead.
Oh, okay.
You have a question or comment?
Yeah, I was just wondering, what is the possibility of the dollar, of actually our Fed, cranking interest rates back up and having, you know, kind of the bottom fall out from gold?
Well, if you return back to the period between 1967 and 1969, and then again the period from 1977 to 1981, you will find that as the interest rates rose, gold and silver rose with them to a certain point, and usually the rates will have to reach something like 8 or 10 or 12 or 14% to break the back of that market, and that has been the experience. So gold is not probably going to go down when interest rates are rising. Historically, they run with them.
And, of course, the things that will drive the price of gold and silver down is manipulation of the commodity markets, and certainly raising the margins requirements for purchases of gold and silver, and as they did with silver, just not allowing you to sell the silver. You could buy silver, but you couldn't sell silver. I think that was the way it was. Anyway, of course, they can manipulate the commodity markets and manipulate the prices of these things, which they will do. What it serves their purpose. It's all manipulated by what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Anything else, Dean?
Well, I agree, Dr. Stan. It is indeed a manipulated market. And again, my question kind of being, if the United States government, you know, this secret alliance that's controlling the budget now, the Secret Six or whatever they are, let's suppose that they actually do make real cuts. The Fed, which it would allow the Fed to start moving interest rates up, would I would think that a lot of the hot money out there is going to kind of flow out of the metal, and that would be kind of consistent with them trying to keep the dollar propped up for another 5 to 10 years before they can close the noose around our necks.
All right. Hold that thought, and we'll be back.
And thank you. Thank you. Have a good night, all. I'll listen for your reply.
Well, Bob, do you have any thoughts at all on what a caller was just asking?
Well, when the Federal Reserve historically has elevated interest rates, it's been because of a special situation. And we'll take 1979-80, so to speak. And what they did was they, in order to stop the 14.3% inflation, they squeezed the life out of the economy. And they did that by taking interest rates to 20.5%. And that's very, very high. And that's how Volcker broke the back. And yes, it did break the back of the gold and silver market with the assistance of the manipulators. And yes, they could do that again if they retain control. And I question whether they're going to be able to retain that control in the future, because a lot of things are not going their way.
I think we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. I think they're going to be very exciting. Things are going to be happening today as we begin to see the very foundation of our monetary system challenged and perhaps begin to degenerate because of irresponsible actions by the small cabal, a few greedy men who are running this government as a feudal fiefdom. Anyway, good night, Bob. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye, everyone.
Thanks so very much. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. And basically, if you'd like to understand what's really going on financially, let me suggest our little pamphlet's inexpensive called The History of Money, but it certainly gives you a lot of good quotations about how money is, how it works, what's happened in the past. With irresponsible action, we have a little booklet called Fiat Money, Inflation in France. It's the history of what happened in France in 1789. And, of course, when they basically decided they were going to come up with a new monetary system, it was going to be backed by the land that had been seized from the Catholic Church. And so they started printing money, and they were able to produce tremendous prosperity by just increasing the monetary supply. But then, of course, as suddenly prices began to equalize, and they did perhaps double or triple. Then they had to print more money, and then things were better for a time, and then they had to print more money, and things were better for a time, and then they had to create more money, and eventually the whole system collapsed. And this is reminiscent of what we've seen with quantitative easing 1 and quantitative easing 2, and now we're going to have another massive expansion of the monetary supply, quantitative easing 3. And history tells us that these systems always fail. And with it, of course, will come what happened to France. I mean, they had a revolution to get rid of the French king, and then, of course, they went into a monetary fiasco, and after repeated bounds of inflation, the destruction of the monetary system, they ended up with a new dictator. His name was Napoleon Bonaparte. Fiat Money, Inflation in France is a very small little book, inexpensive, but is a primer for everything going on today. Cindy, if I could suggest you can get that book. We carry Frederick Bastiat's book, The Law, going into the very fundamentals. This book was written by a contemporary of Karl Marx back in the 1840s. But you need to understand the history to understand what's going on today. Because we carry other books like The Meltdown and Pushback, both by Thomas Wood. They're both available. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Our treatise on a prophetic warning, Sidney, Andrew Jackson's farewell address. It was actually given in 1837, and we simply take his farewell address and analyze it for you in 5 newsletters. So that's Prophetic Warning, The History of Money, Meltdown and Pushback or Pullback, and then certainly the book entitled The Coming Battle, written in 1899. You have to understand there's nothing new under the sun. Our number 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty.